Praise his name. Let's stand together tonight. Let's just bow our heads and we open the service. Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you. We praise your holy name. Yes. Lord, you're worthy of all our praise and worship. Father, we stop and meditate. Lord, just think of all you've done for us down through the years, Father. Lord, how you watch us, guide us, keep us, reveal your word to us. Father, just right when it's needed, just right when it's necessary, you know all about it. So, Lord, we just want to say thank you tonight. Praise your holy name.
Yes.
Lord, bless the service, Lord. Father, each and every one that's gathered, may be watching, Lord, may you just come down where we are. And Lord, minister to us. Father, you know what we need. Father, the week sometimes gets long, but it's nice to be able to come and to gather in like this and to draw strength and, Lord, fellowship one to another. So, Lord, we look forward to hearing from you tonight. In your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, like to, in our Only Believe books, this little course, you probably know it. 433. He's alive, alive, alive forevermore. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.
Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is, oh, sing it one more time to him. Oh, alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, he's alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, my Jesus is alive.
Amen. I'm so thankful we serve a living God. Amen. Amen. 169, so familiar, but if you're praising and worshiping him, hard not to sing this song. Wonderful. Oh, my heart. Is your heart singing today?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine. Peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful and mighty. Amen. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me. once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name's inscribed upon the book. Amen. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me Counselor, Prince of Peace. Almighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praised his name. Oh, living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, what change grace has wrought in my lowly station, since my soul's received that full. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me Counselor, Prince of Peace. Almighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Oh, sing it to him. Oh, yes, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me Counselor, Prince of Peace. Oh, glory. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Amen. Oh, truly, my heart sings. It's wonderful to serve him. Hallelujah. Page 142, over just a little bit. Amen. Oh, Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Are you walking in his light, saints? Oh, hallelujah.
All ye saints of light, proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. O life and mercy in his name,
Jesus, the light of
Amen.
Oh, we'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, light of the world.
Oh, hear the Savior's earnest call. Jesus, light of the world. Send the gospel truth to all.
Jesus, light of the world.
So good to us.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Brother Josh, could you come up for the offering?
Praise God.
Amen.
Lord, you have blessed us in so many different ways, Lord. Lord, it's hard to count all the blessings. Lord, we're so appreciative. Lord, we just want to give, Lord, as much as we can back to you. Lord, whether it's praise and worship or, Lord, a little offering back to you to help the church here, Lord, we're so thankful for everything you've given us. Lord, we ask you to bless it now, Lord, and bless thy precious words that comes forth, Lord, and bless it to our hearts, Lord, which is more important than anything in this world. Lord, we just ask you to have your way now. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Where would I be without Jesus? Amen. Where would I be without Jesus? Oh, where would I spend eternity? Oh, lost in a world full of sorrow. Oh, without Jesus, where would I be? Oh, sing it. Oh, tell me where would I be
without Jesus?
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, where would I spend eternity? Lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be? Amen. How many have something on your heart, a need or request for it? Amen. Let's just bow our heads as we take them before the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, it's a privilege and an honor, Lord, to be able to know you. Father, how you give us so much word. Lord, there's so many promises, Lord, laying in the scriptures. Father, how you, Lord, just so many times reveal and open yourself to us in a greater way. Maybe sometimes to do that, we may have to walk through a little valley, Lord, or have a little rain on us. But Lord, in a way, you're opening yourself and, Lord, showing us your attributes. Father, we're learning and growing. So Lord, Father, as people have needs and things on their hearts, you know them. You know them before they ever happen. But Lord, we know that all things work together for good to them that love you.
Hallelujah.
And you'd never put anything more on us than we can bear. Lord Jesus, we're just learning more about you. So we ask, Father, according to your promise, that you'd reach down and touch every need, every heart, Lord, whatever it may be, from the greatest to the smallest. And Lord, we know it's a finished work, and we thank you for that. But Lord, may we be as the leper that came back and says, thank you. Lord, may we come back, Lord, and testify of your goodness. Let all know that you are the same yesterday and today and forever. We thank you now, Lord, and ask that you would bless the service. Lord, every phase may it just be, Lord, what you want it to be. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Would you have a song tonight, Karen?
God's voice in the thunder speak to me. And it's brought a revival way down deep in my soul. God's chosen ones will be hated and rejected, persecuted, for they stand upon the word. They're despised by those around. Everybody's turned them down, but it don't take their joy, their revival in their soul. Oh yes, way down deep in my heart, the fires are burning for my identity, who I really am. God's voice in the thunder speak to me, and it's brought a revival way down deep in my soul. It's brought joy, for now I know just how to please Him. It's brought peace, it's brought happiness that nothing else could bring. It's broad assurance, now I know I'm justified. This revelation has brought revival to the bride.
Let's all stand, if you will. Sing a chorus, "Only Believe," and ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only
precious Lord, we just want to say thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. And
yes,
Lord, we're just so grateful for your precious word that you've given us. And Lord, we just humbly ask that as we renew our minds to these scriptures tonight, Lord, I feel like you must have a purpose for it, Lord. And we just pray that you'll give me guidance, Lord, to say whatever you would have that would be said.
Yes.
And Lord, that somehow it would help someone, stir someone's heart, Lord, in a greater manner. That, Lord, that through it all you would receive the glory and the honor for it all. And Lord, we'll never fail to see that you receive all of the glory for it. And we ask it in the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah. While you're still standing, if you would, I'm going to turn over to the book of Matthew in the 3rd chapter. Amen. We're just going to read quite a few scriptures. And just praying that we'll just open up your heart. I'll be honest, I was going to preach something else, and it just doesn't seem to be there. But the Lord's been dealing with these scriptures, and we'll just read them. Amen. We'll just take it that God must have a purpose for it. Maybe it'll stir our hearts in a little greater measure. Amen. Nothing great, big, revelational, but it's God's spoken word. And he wrote these things in here for a purpose. And he sent a prophet in this age that's expounded on many of the things that I'll read. But let's just take it as we read through here and just let it speak to our hearts a little bit tonight. Amen. But Matthew, the 3rd chapter, we'll just read a couple verses here and you can be seated. But in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight. May the Lord bless reading his word. You may be seated. Amen. And quite a time was happening here at this juncture in time. And if we would just think about it at the way that it was happening, and realizing God sent us a prophet, and realizing they hadn't had a prophet for how many years till John came back on the scene here, and realizing when John came preaching and speaking out of the wilderness, a man clothed, as the scripture says, and many things. But I want you to think about all the word that had been written up to that time. It was in the scribes, and had the word had been spoken by all the prophets that was rolled out, telling that Messiah was going to come, and all that was spoken of the coming of the Lord at this time, and realizing what was taking place. But I just want to read the way it's put here and just let it mellow your heart for a moment, and as we kind of just see what was taking place at this time and put yourself in these people's positions as God began to speak to them through this lips of a man here. And he says, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And they went out to him to Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And I want you to think at this time, there they stood, the religious leaders of that day. They was holding all of the word in their hands that had been spoken at that time. They studied it day and night. They were reading it and keeping it. And here he comes speaking and crying, make straight the way of the Lord, repent. Turn from the places and the ways of you've been, and come down into this water and be baptized. And you can imagine the anointing that was going forth on that precious word as it was being spoken. You've sat here underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and had the word come forth, and you can feel it strike in your heart. How great it was. You've sat and listened to our prophet in this day speak on tape and sat there and feel the anointing come off of that tape as his voice goes forth. God anointing the word to your heart and to my heart. You can imagine what was taking place at this time. But I want you to look at their attitude. They didn't need it. They were puffed up in themselves. They had their raiments all clean and their vestures on. They looked just so pristine. Everything looked so good. We've got our churches. We've got our holdings. We've got everything we need. And here God sent a voice to speak to them. Make way. He's coming. Prepare the way of the Lord. And he says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to the baptisms, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth their fruits for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so for now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened, And the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What a great time was happening. And John, the Holy Spirit, pointed out to him that this was him that was to come. And showing forth, and John declaring, not negligent to declare that this is him. And let's turn over to John, the 4th chapter, I believe it is. Amen. I'm sorry, I went too far. Amen. John, the 1st chapter. Amen. But just think about these scriptures at this time that was taking place, and we'll bring it over and think about it a little bit with our day in a moment. But he said in the 6th verse of the 1st book of John there, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, only the begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. And then they said unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Elias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. But there is standing one among you whom you knew not. And he it is who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. And these things were done ever beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is of he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And again the next day after John stood, two of his disciples looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. I want you to notice this right here. John had come preaching, his disciples supporting him, there all the time with him, listening to him preach that there was one coming. And these two, at this moment in time, they were listening. It said the two disciples heard him, and they looked upon Jesus as he walked, and he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They left John right there. He pointed them to the Word, and they followed right after the manifestation of the Word that was to come. Think about that. They moved on with the light as it came and was moving forward. And then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So think about this situation as it's happening. God's precious word. Come, he sent a prophet to declare that he was coming. And there was a people predestinated at this time to be recipients of the word that was to be fulfilled at this time. And we're going to read on down. I just want you to just let it sink into your heart and just meditate on these things. He says, and one of the two which heard John speak followed him and was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, and thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So think about that. Here's one, and he's realized who Jesus was, and he's grabbing somebody. Come see. Come see this one. It's wonderful to bring. Come see. But just watch as Jesus realizing and seeing. It's in the following, in the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. And now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip, he go and findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Think about that. Amen. What a joy was beginning to build in their hearts of what they were had found and what they had got a hold of. But as they went on, it says, and he said, Philip findeth Nathanael, saith him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? A little bit skeptical, maybe. Oh, what about this thing? But Philip said to them, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael saith unto him, whence thou knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Oh, amen. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than this. Amen. I want you to think about something. We come here and we gather underneath the anointing of the precious holy word. God sent a prophet. I wasn't here when he came. You may not have been here when he came, but he was still God's prophet nevertheless. Amen. And at some point in your life, somebody has said, come and see. Yes. Now everybody has come and seen. A lot of people have come to see, just as you read through these scriptures, many people come to see John the Baptist down there. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to see what he was preaching. They didn't take heed to what he had to say. It wasn't in them to do so. And many heard Jesus. Many followed him. Multitudes. And it tells us that when he began to speak things that was hard for to be understood, many turned and walked from him. But a special people of predestination down inside, Nathanael, he recognized the word made flesh right there in front of him. And there's a special group of people. We gather around a prophet's message. And we gather around, but it's not the prophet that we're looking to. But we're looking to what the prophet has said. God declared through his mouthpiece what a prophet was. What a prophet was to do. All through these scriptures it was written before he sent the prophet in this last age. And that prophet came, and only just as John the Baptist was going forth preaching and saying the things he was looking back and saying, it's been prophesied, it's coming, it's here, here's everything that's going to come to pass. It's laying right here at the door. The time is at hand. And God sent a prophet in this last few moments of time to prepare a bride, to call him out. And that prophet was not sent to draw people unto himself. But God, using him and doing mighty signs and wonders through him, caught the attention of a people. They came to hear. And as they listened, the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon their heart, they realized there was a truth ringing forth. And where was it coming from? Was it just coming from a man's idea, from something that was being said? But no, it was look back and look what's been spoken in the scriptures. Go back and read what's been said. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. It's not just a story that's been told, but look at the proof that's been coming down through time. And look at what's happening and coming forth. Many heard what he had to say. All many of that time was with his religion, with his group of people, the Pentecostals. Many wanted him to come, the great signs and wonders, the great attention, just as Jesus when he was at the wedding supper. And many wanted him to turn the water, he turned the water into wine. Oh, what a great friend to have around. Look at the many signs and wonders, that just a few signs that happened, and everybody wanted him to come. And we've seen that happen in this day. The prophet went forth and God vindicating him, showing forth that he was a prophet and manifesting his word to this generation. And many saw the signs and many wanted to stay with the prophet. But just think about John. When John pointed out Jesus to them, they no longer stayed with John, but they left him and moved off with the word. And that's what the prophet came doing. Presenting Jesus Christ, the word, to you and I. And it's not just to stay stuck with the message of, there's a prophet, there's a prophet. No, it's time to move off with the word that was spoken through that prophet, that was to bring a life back into a people in this last few moments of time, that there would be a vindication of the scriptures, that Jesus Christ would prove that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever through someone's life. Me and you, whoever felt that call. But I want you to think about it. That for Nathanael, it was an easy, he just told him where he was, and look at it, it caught his attention, and away he went following him. But let's turn over here to the fourth chapter and read a very familiar story. We'll call it a story, but this was happening. This was a reality, and I want you to think about this as you sit here underneath the scrutiny of God's word each service. Amen. Is Jesus, we'll just start here about the fifth verse of the fourth chapter. And then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. And now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So I want you to think about, here is a woman who just walks up to a well. And you've got to see it in the way that it was. It's a reality. He's just a man standing there by a well. There wasn't no halo hanging over his head saying, I'm Jesus, I'm the Christ, I'm... No, he was just a man standing by the well, filled with the Holy Ghost. And this woman walks up and begins to talk to him. And which is the conversation's going on right out of the gate, she's a little bit withdrawn. What's he trying to tell me? Who is he to think he can tell me that he can draw this water that is going to thirst again? But I want you to notice, it caught her attention. And then she said, give me the water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Yes. And then watch the word begin to dig down into her life. And sometimes when we're sitting here, that's what's happening. Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You may not see him here in a physical form, but he's still here and he's looking right down into my heart and into your heart. And he knows what we need and he knows where our trouble's laying. And if you'll just yield to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God can speak to you the same as he spoke to that woman. And it'll be just as real to you if you'll just yield to the Holy Spirit. And don't get an idea or a stiff-backed idea to it. But as just as those when John came out preaching repentance and pointing the way, they yielded to it and they were down there in the water being baptized, preparing themselves for the hearing of the word, preparing themselves for the time for the one that was going to come that would baptize them with fire and the Holy Ghost, making straight their paths, cleaning up their lives, and listening to what John was preaching. So think about it. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. Oh, could you imagine? What if the Holy Spirit wanted to dig down in your heart tonight and point out one thing in my life or your life that maybe we need to overcome? What would be our attitude to sit here tonight knowing that it would be the Holy Spirit that could only know that thing and call that out in our life? What would be our attitude? Would we sit here and say, oh Lord, let it be to me according to your word? Or would we get stiffed up and, oh, he don't know what he's talking about. But this little lady, it caught her attention because she knew that that was things that nobody could have known. She didn't know him, he didn't know her, but the Holy Spirit was pricking her heart and it was searching the reins and digging way down deep. But just listen. And he says, and the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. And the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, and the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. She could look back and find what had just happened in the scriptures. She could look back and see that the testimony that had just been bore out before lined up with what had been said happened. And as that word was scrutinizing her down in there and it was scrubbing, it didn't cause her to run away, but it drawed her that much more into it. And then so much that then the woman left her water pot, the 28th verse, and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Oh, there was something sparked down inside and away she went. And that's the way that when we look at today, we see John the Baptist came in his time preaching a message that was so strange to many at that day. Even the religious leaders just, oh, he's went too far. He's off the course. And today it's become the same way. God sent a prophet and the word has went forth. But so many want to stand back. That's not necessary. They want to draw back. Oh, we've got the word. We got the books. We got what he said. We know, we know, we know. But God sent a people that was predestinated not to say we know, but to say, oh, tell me more and show me the promise that's listed unto me. And you know, and it depends on what you're looking for. When you're, and each one that went looking, those that said, come see, and they went to see what each was trying to tell them. But look at the attitude they went with looking for. And Brother Branham makes this statement in looking to Jesus. And just think about it. The woman at the well, she got to look one time, and what did she see? She expressed it in the city. She said, come see a man who told me the things that I've done. Isn't this the very Messiah? And when she took her first look at Jesus Christ, she saw the Messiah. And people can look at the same thing today and call it mental telepathy. They call it spiritualism. They call it any kind of a devil name they can call it because they don't know what they're looking for. They don't understand. They're looking for a creed. They're looking for a genius to set the church in order. They're looking for more members and fail to see the blessed Lord Jesus Christ and his identified word. And God was expressing himself through that prophet to catch that attention of those people. Yes. And many turned from it. They didn't want it. They couldn't see it. They were looking at it in the wrong light. They weren't looking back to see where it fit in the scriptures. And each one of us that sat here, we've got to have that assurance that as we're looking back into this precious word, that we know that it wasn't just William Branham's talking to me. It wasn't just William Branham bringing a message. But it was Jesus Christ revealing himself through the lips of a man to you and I. And that prophet was sent to point us back to him in the direction that he's coming again. Make yourself ready and prepare the way of the Lord. Get ready. Don't stand away around just watching and, oh, we'll see what happens. But no, John was saying, he's coming. Get ready. Get down here in the water and get baptized. Be ready. He's coming. I'm telling you, he's among you now. And look at the message that went forth. He's coming again. Be ready. You don't know what day or hour. You don't know when it's going to take place. But it's going to happen just exactly as that promised word for that time was fulfilled. The word that's been spoken and prophesied in our day is going to happen exactly the same. Amen. And God sent a prophet. It's been, look how long it's been that God's voice rang out. And people, oh, I don't know if he's coming or not. I don't know when it's going to be. I just can't get excited. But God predestinated a people that their heart is on fire, just waiting and burning down inside. Just as real today as it was 60 years ago, preparing, getting ready to make their way straight. Not relying in a church order, not relying in a building full of people or relying upon a certain pastor to explain and give them the word. Not looking to different items that maybe I hear someone says it has to be this way and someone says it has to be that way, but looking to God's precious word and making their life ready. They may not be able to explain each and everything that's been spoken. They may not fully understand how God's going to do some things that'll be done. But there's one thing, that cry went forth from that prophet, you be ready. Whatever the moment, whatever the time, whatever takes place, wherever it is, you be sure that you don't miss it. Amen. Stay ready and in tune with what God is going to do. And that word is still ringing out tonight, but what are we looking at? How do we look at our church services? Is it just church? We're Christians. We go to church. That's why we gathered again. Somebody to preach, somebody to sing. But oh, it should be so much more. God is finishing a work that he started. The finishing touches are on the artist's brush, and each stroke is bringing us that much closer to the finishing of this great masterpiece that he started. And oh, may we truly be looking to find ourselves hidden in that great work that's taking place. He says it. They're looking for a genius to set the church in order. They're looking for more members and fail to see the blessed Lord Jesus Christ and his identified word. But it depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for the fulfillment of the promise today, you'll see it. But if you're looking for some intellectual or something they've always looked for, some great founder, some great historian, some other person, something else, you'll fail to see it. But when you look at him through the word declares who he is. And he challenged the people of his day to do the same. They couldn't see. He said, you blind leaders of the blind, you claim Moses to be your prophet. If you would have known Moses, you would have known me. Moses wrote about me. And they were too blind to see it, looking right at it, too blind to see it. I'm dovetailing that glare this morning for a few minutes, you see. They're looking and don't know what they're looking for because they've got the wrong conception of what they're trying to find. How would you know what you wanted to find if you didn't know what you was looking for? Think about it. And so many today are looking. They want great signs. They want great wonders back in the church. They want to speak in tongues and jump and run all over the benches like Pentecost did when God first began to manifest the gifts. They want to go back in time, but they don't know what they're looking for. But God sent a prophet to plainly declare what was coming and that the way that it would come. And there's been a predestinated people that's caught that vision of what's to do and how to prepare for what's fixing to take place. But how many are missing it? How many is looking off into a glare of what's been? Or they read and see the mighty things God did and they want to just stay in that. But look what God can do today through you and I to finish this work that's set before us. If we'll but get in tune with the author and watch what's happening around us. Amen. Amen. He says, but how would you know what you wanted to find if you didn't know what you was looking for? How would you go hunt for a pumpkin? And had you never seen one, never heard of one, how would you go find a watermelon if you'd ever known there was such a thing and how it looked? Why, you could find a tub and think it was a watermelon. You could find something else and you could find a block and think it was a watermelon. But you've got to know what you're looking for, and the only way that you'll ever know what you're going to and what you're looking for is if you're looking for Jesus, you will look to the Word. For he is the word, and they are they that testify of me. Search the scriptures. Yes. So I want you to think about that. When John came pointing, he was saying he's coming, and he was bringing it to them. And those that were listening to what he was saying, they moved right off with Jesus, when he came. They left John and began to follow the Lord. Look at the word as it came forth, the woman at the well. She left her way of life and moved right off into a new life with Jesus Christ. Look at these different ones as the word caught their attention and the way they went following it. And there was an actions that went forth declaring they had been pointed to what they were looking for through the word of Jesus Christ. And today we've been pointed to what we're looking for. Brother Branham pointed every time, and he pointed and he pointed and he pointed to the word. And how we should take it so cautiously that we don't just get caught up in trying to compare and match. What did he say with that? And what did he say about this? And how about that? And so-and-so said this and so-and-so. But look back to God's word that he plainly declared that he wanted you to hear. He pushed out the directions that we needed. And he pointed us in the right way that we knew what we're looking for. We're not left in the dark. But God, he plainly declared the full counsel to us of how to prepare and to be ready. A wife waiting in preparation for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Amen. It may seem a little strange. It might be a strange way of bringing it, but I pray that something will just strike your heart in a greater measure, that we've been pointed to the truth. We've not been pointed to fables or some creed of man, but God's word is laying here in the same preparation that God has used down through this Bible, word upon word and word upon word. He's pushed it right out there that through every age, men knew exactly which direction they were going. They weren't stumbling around in the dark, trying and seeking and searching for the way, but it was laying right in front of them each and every time they would take God at his word. And follow it just the way he delivered it. Don't mix anything with it. Let God take a hold of it and interpret it to them and dip it into their heart by the Holy Spirit and watch God bring forth the increase that was there. Yeah. This is in God is his own interpreter. Amen. Just catch a little something that he said here. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This is on page, this was paragraph 58. And God hiding, and God is his own interpreter, and this was preached February 5th, 64. He said, if you had known Luther, you'd have known this age. If you'd have known the Methodist, you would have known this age. For Christ wrote of this age. The word that's being fulfilled has to be fulfilled in this age. It doesn't need somebody to interpret it. God does his own interpreting. God interprets himself because he's the only one that can interpret it. God's promises always vindicate what he said. That's the interpretation. And Jesus, to save time, he said in St. John 14, in the 12th verse, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, shall he do also. Did he say it? That's right. That don't need any interpreting. When somebody does that work, that's God, certainly. And he also said in there, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And Jesus said that. Did he say it? Certainly he said it. That needs no interpreting. They say, well, that meant, it means just exactly what he said. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What about the days of Lot? Let's go back for just a moment and find out what they were doing. But there were three classes of people in the days of Lot: the believer, the make-believer, and the unbeliever. And that's in every crowd the same thing. And we find out that the Sodomites was the unbeliever, and Lot was the make-believer. Abraham was the believer. He was the one the covenant was confirmed to. And he was the one that was looking for a promised son. He was the one who was expecting it. Amen. I'm not amening myself, but amen means so be it. That's right. Abraham was not in Sodom. Abraham was up and out of Sodom. He's a type of the spiritual church. Lot is a type of the denominational church. Down in Sodom yet, watch what the Bible said, that the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul daily. Why didn't he have a nerve enough to stand out against it? There's many a good man sitting in church today looking out and seeing women with shorts and men doing things and their members going and playing golf on Sunday, picnic parties, swimming and things instead of attending church, sitting home on Wednesday night watching television instead of attending church. They feel like saying something about it, but the board would put them out. What's the matter? It's Lot again looking out his window, seeing the sin and afraid to call sin, sin. But Abraham wasn't in their mess. Amen. I want you to notice, Abraham was not in their mess. He was out of it. He was a type of the spiritual church. And watch what happened just at the end time, just before the fire fell. And those were Gentiles. It foreshadowed the fire falling on the Gentile world today When the kingdoms will be broke up and they'll be burnt, heavens will be on fire, saith the Lord, and they'll burn with fervent heat. That was a shadow of it. But I want you to notice what Abraham was looking for. He was looking for his promise to be fulfilled. He was expecting it to be happened. So many today have got their eyes caught off on so many other things. They've let other people draw their attention over here. This must happen first. This has to happen over here first. This has to be just like this. And that may be. God knows all things. But one thing, Abraham wasn't looking down there at Sodom. His eyes wasn't down there seeing how he could fix all that mess. But he was looking for the promise that had been promised to him. And he was expecting it and looking for it. And he was out of all of their confusion, out of all of their mess. He had his eyes on one thing, the promise that was given to him. That he would have a son. And I want you to look at the promises that we've been given today through God's precious word and what a prophet has declared. Keep your attention focused on the promise and look for it. Expect it because it's coming. Just exactly God said it would be, right on time, right on plane. There might be things happening behind the doors over here and doors over there that we can't see. We don't know everything. We live in a small, small area. But I know one thing. He said he's coming. And he told us what shape this world would be in, and we see it's fallen. We see where we're standing. We're right there. How it ought to give a joy and a shout in our hearts. And such a great press to be pressing and crying out for revelation more than anything in this world. That, Lord, give me that rapturing faith that will take me out of this world. That this body would be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. And oh my, remember the things the prophet said. You're changing that inside man. Oh, when you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it brings this body under subjection to God's precious word. And it's a work from the inside out. It's bringing everything under control. And one of these days, all we're going to lay down is this robe of flesh and take on that glorified body. But oh, but while I'm still here, think about it. Jesus was expressed in man through that body of flesh. He was expressed, but it was God inside there without measure. And today it's God in you and I with measure. But oh, think about how he said that. I might have misspoke of that just a little bit wrong. But it was God. God didn't. He had the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But look at what God's done for you and I. Placed a portion of himself in us. That not of what we can do, but what he will do for us and through us. And as we see him taking this body over and see it turning heavenly, don't get our eyes set down here on the works that are down here, but look to the word that was put to us through that prophet, pointing us to the finishing of this age. And keep your eyes on the goal and keep moving with God's precious word. Don't get stalemated with somebody's idea. And if somebody comes along and tries to take anything away from what's been spoken through that prophet or try to make it a little less important to you, pay it no attention, but hold to every word that's been spoken through that precious word. Oh, God did not mix words and he didn't have to leave us wondering, but he declared exactly what he wanted that little bride to know for the time and season. And he will, through the revealing of his word and through the preaching of his word, he will bring that little bride to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Oh, by God's grace, I want to be yielded to that. I don't want to be stiffed back and think, oh, I'm going to hold on to this. But oh, let me be down on my knees in repentance, crying, Lord, humble me. Break my hard heart. Don't let me get hardened and don't let me get stiff-necked in this last few moments of time. But Lord, break me down to where I'll be so yielded to you that whatever you want to do with the Holy Spirit in me, I would be yielded to you, Lord, that you could have your full preeminence. Oh, saints, we're living in a wonderful time. We're seeing the fulfillment of the scriptures take place. We're seeing God bring to pass the things that was spoken. But are we excited about it? Think about the excitement that was in each one of us as they was hearing John the Baptist, the excitement that was building, the Messiah's coming. He's among you now. And oh, as that was going out, how their hearts were ringing and they were looking for that. And our prophet, he came declaring he's coming again. Make ready. And oh, may we truly be weighing each and every section of our lives saying, Lord, what's next? And oh, making sure that we're standing without condemnation before him. Waiting and praying, Lord, let it be to me according to thy will. Oh, may we prepare our hearts, saints. But we've not been left wandering in the dark. We're not, don't know where to go. We don't know what to, not where to turn. But God has plainly declared what he wanted us to know. But may we cry out, Lord, oh, give me eyes to have and open it greater to me. That your plan would be more revealed. As he said, in Christ is the mystery of God. He wants to get someone that can so see it. Oh, may we be crying, Lord, let me so see it just the way you intended for me to see, that it would do the work that's needed in my life. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. He is so wonderful. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus. He is so wonderful. Amen.
He to me, He is so wonderful. To me, He is so wonderful. To me, He is so wonderful to know that Jesus is mine. Sing it again. To me, He is so wonderful. To me, He is so wonderful. To me, He is so
wonderful to know He's yours. Know it's so wonderful to know you belong to Him. And it's so wonderful to know the reality He's in you. Amen. So glorious. Appreciated the Word tonight. Did you?
Amen.
Amen. There's nothing boring about the Word. It's just so good. Just sit there and just let the Word just be soaked up in you. Amen. Just make sure there ain't a spot there that needs cleaned out or straightened up or strengthened. I just appreciate it. Thank God I'm here tonight. Amen. He is so wonderful, isn't He? Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You gave us this time to be here and be gathered here around the Word of God and to listen to it and not only just sit and listen, but Lord, as we listen, we measure ourselves up by the Word of God. We make sure that if there's a short place, Lord, the Holy Spirit can mend it. Put it all back together again and make it just what You want it to be in our life. And Father, we appreciate the times You give us. We're so thankful for it. Trusting that, Lord, even those that maybe been listening, Father, in online, Father, may You just bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. And Lord, we're just watching for that Word to finish our life up. And Lord, we'll be a finished work, ready to be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. That's going to be such a glorious time. And Lord, as time goes on, it becomes more and more real to us. And it stirs in our heart to really love the appearing of the Lord. And we appreciate that also. So we ask that You would just continue to work in our hearts and continue to feed us the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God is inspired, it's so glorious and wonderful. Just praying out You'll watch over us as we travel home and bring us back the next appointed time if You should tarry. Because, Lord, we know one of these days it'll be the last time we gather here together. And Lord, it may be between 6 and 9 in the morning sometime. Lord, You'll come and take Your little bride home. Oh, we're looking forward to that. I pray that You'll help us, Lord, to be more excited about it and be more ready for it every moment. We thank You for everything now. And we give You the glory for everything. In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. May God richly bless you, keep you safe, come hungry again Sunday to listen to the Word of God. Amen. You're dismissed.